You're now listening to the A Place of Refuge Productive Living Podcast with Bishop Barry D. Walker. A Place of Refuge vision is to cause people to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. For more information, please stop by our website at www.aplaceofrefugechurch.org. Now, here's today's message already in progress.
You have to literally consider teenagers, toddlers, young adults as children. Again, literally speaking. Figuratively, you have to consider adults that are immature and shouldn't be as children. Yeah, so you have to consider people that are children from a literal and a figurative standpoint. In order for a literal or a figurative child to enter into adulthood, it is essential for them to consider 1 Corinthians 13 and 11. Paul said, when I was a child, I basically thought, talked, and did like a child. But when I became mature, a man, or an adult, I put away childish things. So it comes a time as a free moral agent, whether we're talking about a literal or figurative child, that you just have to make up in your mind that you're going to stop doing things you have no business doing. Thinking things you have no business thinking. And saying things you have no business saying. It just comes a time. And you could reach the age of 16 and decide, I'm just done with thinking, talking, and acting such and such. Some of us know in Scripture that there were people that were 16 years of age that were actually mature. If you understand Scripture. Even in life, the older folks used to say about some young folks, you a grown person in a child's body because of the wisdom or because of the way the particular person carried him or herself. But every child has something that he or she cannot get out of them alone. Gotta have some help. I said there is something, and it's actually more than one thing, but I'm just gonna deal with one thing. It's actually one thing that every child has in him or her that in order for it to come out, gonna have to have some help. Yeah. What is that one thing Foolishness. 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 Doing stuff that makes no sense. Choosing to go left when you should go right. Mad about something that you shouldn't be mad about. Thinking something that you have no business thinking, just foolish. Psalm 14 and 1 says, in part, the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. You can be foolish to think that God does not exist, but as a Christian, you can be foolish to the point to where you think God will not do what he promised. And start talking doubt. Start thinking in ways you have no business thinking. Even though you know the scripture says that he will do A, B, C, you're questioning whether or not the scripture is right. Even though we are assured with passages such as Matthew 24 and 35, heaven and earth shall pass, but not God's. Everything that God allowed to be penned, everything that he permits to be revealed, he's going to make sure it is fulfilled, that he's going to do it. Isaiah said, once he sends forth his word, it will not return unto him void. It's going to accomplish everything that he sent it to do. And it's going to prosper therein. But when you doubt that God is going to fulfill a particular thing because of your time, your eyes, or something else, it says about you, whether you're 12 or 61, you are a child. You're doubting the one that has never lied. Hebrew writer so understood God being a person that has never lied to where the Holy Spirit told him to pen, it is impossible for God to lie. There's no way it can be done. And you know God speaks directly and indirectly. So whether God is using somebody to speak or he's speaking on his own, whatever is uttered is not going to return void. But in order to receive such, you got to be grown. I said, in order to receive such, you got to be grown. You got to know your God. You can't even walk in certain miracles unless you know your God. I said, you can't even walk in certain miracles unless you know your God. That's the reason Daniel penned, those who know their God shall be strong and carry out exploits. But when you're foolish, such will never manifest in your life, because foolishness can hinder you from not only receiving what God has ordained for you to have, but also from fulfilling your destiny or your purpose in life. meandering because you're still playing the fool. Wondering about this, that, and the other. Confused whether to go or not because you're still playing the fool. You need some help. What kind of help? Let me show you what kind of help you need. Go with me to Proverbs. And hold on. Proverbs 22 and 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it, notice, far from him or her. Foolishness is bound. It's attached. It's connected. It's a part of the heart. But notice, of a literal, a figurative child. It's attached. That's the reason when certain things happen, confusion just manifest. Foolishness just manifests. Why? It's part of you. Whenever you wonder about whether God is going to do it or not, and he has specifically told you 17 times, the reason you're still wondering is because of that foolishness. It's attached, get this, to the heart. When you choose not to believe that God's going to do it because of what you see, that's foolishness. Why? He done told you not to walk by sight, but faith. Oh, 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, for we walk by, not by sight. Hebrews 11 and 1, now faith is the substance of things, the evidence of things not. He done told us time and time again, not only in scripture, but in revelation. But when foolishness is attached to your choices, to your mindset, because in part the heart represents your mindset, your choices. You choose to do what you do because it's in your heart. You choose to say the dumb stuff because it's in your heart. I like how Jesus put it. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, you talk. You talk. Yeah, you can get mad at somebody and then here it comes. Yeah, I used to cuss folk out. But I was foolish. I when I got saved, I used to think folks were against me who was for me because I was foolish. Did dumb thing after dumb thing while I was in the church because I was foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And this is kind of touchy because even though you may not say amen to me or you hallelujah, nothing else, this word has to hit you if you're guilt. Peter said in Acts 2:37 and following in part that the word will prick the heart. The word has a way of letting you know when it's talking specifically about you. But then he gives a solution in the same text. A solution to getting that foolishness out of your heart is in the same verse. Look at this verse again. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it. And notice it does a good job. Far from him or her. The rod. But notice what he calls it. The rod of correction. Every rod does not correct. Rod in one sense represents discipline. Some disciplines will not correct you, but will make you worse. I say it will make you worse. But the rod of correction was specifically created by God to correct, to make somebody better. And sometimes, in order to be better, you have to see how messed up you are. It's amazing how one of the first requirements Jesus had in reference to his disciples was to recognize how messed up they were. He said to them, look, if y'all still going to come after me, I need you to deny yourself and then follow me. You can't follow me like you are. The implication, you're too messy. You can't follow me and talk like you're talking. You can't follow me and think like you're thinking. You can't follow me and keep doing that dumb stuff. You got to deny yourself. They were childish. They were grown men. They were childish. They had reached the age of adulthood, but they still were in themselves. They were still selfish. They still wanted to have it their way. And that's a whole lot of church folks. You in the church, but you still want to have it your way. You'll get mad if the preacher say something that need to be said to you because you like having your way. Listen to that one clap over there. Woo! We like having our way. The rod of correction is a means of removing, not mistakes, errors, sin, bad choices. For James said, when a man knows to do right and does not do it, then it gets personal. To him is sin. He chose to do that. Gotta drive that foolishness out. In other words, you're gonna have to use some force. It takes force to get foolishness out of folk. And when you think about force, in one sense, it's going to be a fight. And the most powerful thing that it is God's word. Because God's word is equivalent with him. For John said in John 1:1 and following, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. If foolishness is going to get out of you, it's going to take the word or the rod of correction. Yeah, it's going to take the rod of correction. It's going to take something more powerful than that demon that's in you. It's going to take something more powerful than that selfishness in you. It's going to take something more powerful than that hypocrisy in you. It's a job for the word. I just want you to say to one person, what's in you? It's going to take the word to get out. And I'm not saying who you told that is childish. I just wanted you to relay that to the person beside you, that it's going to take the word to get whatever is in them out. Your wife tried. She couldn't get it out. Your husband tried. He couldn't get it out. Your parents tried. They couldn't get it out. It's going to take the word. I was strung out on drugs. Love alcohol. I said I love drinking Hennessy. I love females. I still do love women. Y'all got to understand that. But I'm saying in the bad sense. Some of the brothers should have said, me too, Pastor. And some of you women should say, well, you know I love men. And then some of you men should say, well, I love men too. And some women would say, well, I love women. Bottom line, we were messed up. We were operating in foolishness. And the only way Walker got straightened out. You ain't got that Me Too in you yet. I said the only way Walker got straightened out is the word of correction. It was no way I could go to a dead church and get delivered. We were already in a dead church and felt comfortable doing what we were doing. Rem so-and-so, he talked from the scripture. He opened up his Bible. He quoted a couple of scriptures. But it was pseudo. I said it was pseudo. It wasn't pricking my heart. When it comes to the word of correction, it takes somebody that has been anointed by God to put it to work. I said it takes somebody that has been anointed by God to put it to work. Say to your neighbor, the anointing of God is that which destroys yokes. It's that which will get rid of that alcohol demon. It's that which will get rid of whatever has you wrapped up, tied up, and tangled up. First time I went to a real church, I went high. Like I was used to going to church high. Y'all laughing, but I'm just telling you the truth. I was used to going to church high. And so I done mess around and step into this legit church where the anointing was, where the Holy Ghost was, and I was high. Had snorted some coke, had smoked some THC and some reefer laced together, and I was feeling right nice. Until I... I got up under that anointing, got to hearing that word, and that high just psh. I got to sweating. Or is that preacher talking about me? I said, these folk looking at me. And I'm scared to get up and leave. Say to your neighbor, you remember how he delivered you. You remember how he got that mess out of you. You remember how he changed your life. Fuck. You gotta be anointed to deliver foolishness that's in children, literal and figurative. That's the reason I waited for a few years. Baker would say stuff like, I don't know why Pastor ain't went ahead and just let me be pastor yet. I had to wait a few years. He had been serving faithfully, but he had not been deemed pastor. I said, Lord, we done had three, quote unquote, folk that have come through and wanting to be youth pastors. And they didn't work out. I said, Lord, right now, Minister Walker and Minister Powell, they have done a better job than anybody. But I know they need a shepherd. It takes something to get children saved. I'm talking littler children right now. Yeah, cause in you ready to party? You want to know what that cigarette tastes like? Oh, they taking them pills. I want to know what it feel like to take a pill like that. Yeah, you want to see what's going on with Mary? Francine, a little bit. Yeah, you want to see that? I mean, you young and everything is just happening around. Just everything is happening, and so you. And little girls mature quicker than men. The little girls be like, he sure is cute. I'm going to tell him too. And so when you have young people that come to the house of God, You can't give them an adult message. You got to have a word that's going to get to them that they understand based upon being a literal child. Because in our day and time, the primary folk that are busting hell wide open are young people. Do y'all understand young people are more in this decade, in this season, young people are more into idolatry more so than it has been, you holding on, in a century. You got young folk that don't only want to come to church, but they want to experience other pseudo gods. You can't drive out that foolishness using somebody that has not been anointed to be a shepherd. Because in order to deal with such, it requires a person to have what God gave shepherds in Jeremiah 3. And 15. It requires every bit of that verse. I'll give you shepherds. Notice the first thing is going to be a gift from God. But then he goes on, that are according to my heart. They've gotten to the point to where they're mature. Because you can't choose what God wants if you're not mature. And if your heart is as the heart of God, you choose what he wants you to choose. You ain't no jackleg preacher giving folk what they want in order to get your check. Real preachers will preach whether they get a check or not. And Baker didn't get no check when he first started. He did. But he get a check now. He get a good check now. Woo! He don't get no youth pastor check either. He got a pastor's check. The servant is worthy of his hire. But I knew I had always told him, and I still say it to this day, the most important ministry as we enter into this season, youth and music. Look at what's overtaking our young folks more so than anything in reference to idolatry. Music. You holding on? And most of the secular as well as religious artists are into idolatry. Got quote unquote religious folk that don't have no problem with folks who worship other gods and show it by singing with them, joining forces with them. But when you're anointed, you know such should not be. Be holy. Why? I am holy. Touch not the unclean thing. What fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? But the children have to come. As I get ready to close it, they have to come. And notice back in our text, Psalm 34 and 11. They have to come and listen. I said they have to come and listen. Come with your foolishness. All I want you to do initially is just listen. Come with the demons. I got something for them. Just come and listen. Come and listen. Come and listen. So that foolishness can get out. Why listen? Because faith comes by hearing. And hearing the word of God. Gotta get faith in you. That word is so powerful that when you listen to it, it will cause choices to pop up in your mind. Whether to keep doing the dumb stuff or to surrender to the only one that can help you. The only one that can redeem you. The only one that can save you. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord or Jesus shall be saved. And so he says, come. Come and listen. Look at the text again. You're looking at me like you don't remember. Let me read it one more time. Psalm 34 and 11. Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of God. Just come and listen. And I'll tell you why you need to fear, reverence, respect, or to give God praise. As an adult, when I finally got saved in my 20s, I wished to God that I had been saved as a child. I was taught dumb stuff. The devil put in folk hard to say in the church. Children are covered until 12. Do you know how many children have went to hell because of that lie? Even in scripture, the pagans, who we used to be, are people without God. At early ages, they would start teaching their God. Their children about their gods. Teach them early about Astaroth, about Odin. And even now in our day and time, they teach them to be free when it comes to their worship. Teach them to be free. Even the school teach them to be free, which is a form of idolatry. If you want to come as a boy today, it's okay. But if by Friday you want to come as a girl, you just come. That's idolatry. God created us male and female. And above that, in his image, his likeness. That's not just Christians, that's everybody. They have to be taught the fear of God. The church I grew up in, you got to trying to praise God. They would shut you down. it took getting saved before I realized that, the place to give God the praise is the church. The place to dance is the church. The place to get happy is the church. But how you gonna know that if you don't have a teacher? I said, how you gonna know that if you don't have a teacher? When it comes to teach, it's important to understand a few things. Why you can know the very importance of someone being anointed to teach children. To teach. When it comes to the archaic meaning, or one archaic meaning of teach, it means to goad, which suggests to stir to action. To let that word prick the heart to the point to where a person first is stirred to keep coming back to the church. It's something about that church is helping me. Well, you keep going if it's helping you then. But you want some of this? I'll take a hit. Three weeks later, you still going to that church? Yeah, I'm still going to it. You want to take a hit of this? No, man. No, man. I'm good. I'm good. Teaching should stir to action. Should cause a person to change little by little, stirring them to action in the church and outside the church. But it takes anointing to gold. It takes an anointing to stir the people to action, to stir children to action, to the point to where they give up something that they have basically failed in love with. See, when some of us got saved, we weren't just trapped. We were in love with certain things. We had been captivated to the point to where we woke up doing certain things. Throughout the day, we did it. Even when we got ready to go to bed, we did it. And would fight about that particular thing or person. But biblically speaking, when it comes to a pastor, according to Ephesians 4, 11 and following, in part, a shepherd has to equip. Because once God strips you of yourself, he wants you to take on him. Old folks used to say, we die daily. Why? So Christ can start manifesting, well, in our thoughts, in our words, and in our deeds. And so you appreciate your youth pastor, because when you parents look at how he's stirring them to do the right thing, even though you're a good parent, you recognize that God has anointed him to reach your child in a way you never could. And I'm going to stop right there. Let's give the Lord a bigger hand of praise.